For many years, Swami Satyananda Saraswati has joined Sri Ma in sharing the joy and wisdom gained from worship with spiritual seekers all around the world. Let's join Swami in a class on the meaning and method of worship.
Om Namah Shivaya.
Let's talk a little bit about why puja first. Well, we'll just go very quickly because I'm sure you've all heard this a million times. There are eight types of behavior for spiritual seekers. In Sanskrit, it's called acharan. And it starts with Vaishnavacharan. Vaishnavacharan means the behavior of inspiration. Vedic acharan. Vaidha achara means the behavior of knowledge. You get an inspiration, you'll learn about it. Shaiva achara, the behavior of practice. Shiva's big on tapasya. Bhamachara, often called the left-handed path, which is a very great misunderstanding. Bhama Deva is not the left-handed god. Bhama Deva is the beloved god, and Bhamachara is the beloved behavior. And beloved behavior means where you got the inspiration, you took the knowledge, and you began to practice, put it into practice in your lives. Make it part of our lifestyle. So if we learn, in Sanskrit, the term sadhu means efficient. Someone who is efficient is called a sadhu. If we learn how to pay attention to what we're doing, to do what we do as an offering to God, then we pay attention to it, we don't make mistakes, we don't have to go back and redo it. We become very efficient at what we do. And that's called Bhamachara, the behavior, the beloved behavior, because everything we do in life is done for God. Dakshinachara, it means the preferred behavior. And Dakshinachara means, I don't have to do it again. I did it. Done that. Been there. Got the t-shirt. Got one too. All right. So then we reduce our necessity to act in the world because we've already done it. We've organized our lives with such a degree of efficiency that we don't have to go out into the worldliness of the world. We can stay home with our beloved deity. We can sit in the house of God. Siddhantachara. Siddhanta means the scriptures. And Siddhantachara, the behavior according to the scriptures, has seven parts. The first is puja. What are you going to do when you stay home? What would you do? Okay, now you've burned out, you've retired, you've got all the money you need, you got all the physical resources that you require. What will you do when you're home? How do you guide your mind into the presence of God? The greatest privilege, the greatest punya. Pu means punya, and punya means merit. And ja means jata, to give birth. And the actions which give birth to the greatest merit, the privilege of sitting in the presence of God, that's called puja. Let's talk about some of the other six aspects of Siddhantachara, behavior in accordance with the scriptures. Puja, park. What we did chanting scripture, we did that this morning. Homa, what we're going to do this afternoon. Sangeet, singing, that's what we did last night, we'll do it again tonight. Nrit, that's dancing, we're going to get you booging tonight. Pravachan, explanation of what we're doing and why we're doing it, what it means, how to apply it, that's what we're doing right now. And Arpanam, offering, we're going to serve you some rice pudding after the fire, and I'll bet you it'll taste good. Durga's really good at that, she's been doing it. Seven aspects of Siddhantachara, the seven appendages of life according to the scriptures. Worship, recitation of scriptures, fire ceremonies, singing, dancing, explaining what we're doing, understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it, and offering as a service, as a love, as a privilege to demonstrate our love to God. This is Siddhantachara. From Siddhantachara comes Yogachara, the behavior of union. So everybody sit like a yogi and practice Yogachara. And when we come through Yogachara, the Ashtamam, the eighth, is Kulachara, the behavior of excellence. Whether you're sitting in one-pointed samadhi, or whether you're acting and interacting with the world, you maintain the same bhava. And that's why puja. Pu means punya, ja means jata. We're going to give birth to the highest merit, the privilege of sitting in the presence of God. And that's what our guided meditation is designed to effect. It's going to guide us into the presence of God. There are five parts to a puja. Preparation. Shine the utensils, set the stage, make everything clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Make everything right. Get the atmosphere, the ambiance, where God will like to come. We don't want to say, hey, Mom, my house is a mess. Would you please come on over? We'd like to say, God, I cleaned it up because I loved you. I mean, you're the greatest guest that I could ever ask to come into my life. So I'm ready for you. I want to treat you with the highest respect I possibly can. Shreem means respect. Shri, Sha means shanti. Ra means your mind. E means your heart. Shri means respect. The peace in your mind and in your heart is the highest respect. When you can listen to someone with perfect attention, with peace in your mind and your heart, you're showing respect. And Lakshmi's name is Shri. And her bija is Shrim. And the anuswara on the end means perfect. The perfect peace in your mind and your heart is the wealth. Now, Laksha is a goal. And Lakshmi, she who manifests the goal. She who is the ultimate goal of all beings. Your goal is what you value. Your values are your wealth. And in this sense, Lakshmi is the goddess of wealth. She's the goddess of the wealth, of the perfection of peace in your mind and in your heart. When we don't know the goal, then we can't understand where the path lies. But when we have defined the goal as the privilege of sitting in the presence of God, then we understand what is too much, what is too little in accordance with our purpose. We can discriminate only in accordance with our objective. So now, the first portion of the puja is preparation. And that means we're going to prepare the worshiper. He takes a bath every time he comes to worship, five times a day. We're going to prepare the environment and set the stage and put the proper ambience. We're going to purify the flowers and purify the environment. The second step will be purification. We purify not only physically, we wash our hands, we wash our lips, we purify our asana, we purify the flowers, we purify the water, we purify all the offerings. We purify them with our intention. We purify them with our attention. We purify them through washing, being clean, being respectful, putting everything into the optimum organization. So we have what are called shuddhi. Shuddh means pure. And the shuddhi, we have buddha shuddhi. We purify the elements within the body. Harashuddhi, we put, purify our hands. Pushpashuddhi, we purify the flowers. Samanya Arga, we purify the water. Achman, we purify our lips. Because we should speak pure words with a pure mouth. We purify our fingers, our body. We wear clean clothes, even clothes respectful, indicative of our attitude of worship. We set the stage. Preparation, purification, invitation. Hello. It's you, the Divine Mother. Come in. Ihagacha, come in. I invite you, come in. Please, you are the respected guest in my home. Please, take your seat. I've got an asan ready for you. I establish you on this seat. I brought a chair specially for you to sit on. I'm sorry for any difficulty this may cause you. I know there are thousands and thousands of devotees all around the world calling you. And I'm so appreciative that you paid attention to me to come to my puja. What a privilege. Please forgive me for any paucity, any lack, anything that's not appropriate. Please forgive me. But I surrender my soul to you. And I've called you here to tell you how much I love you and how much I respect you because I surrender to you completely. Avahan. Stop. Sangnida. Sangbahan. Atma samarpa. Praksha. These mudras define attitudes. And every time you make the mudra, you feel the attitude. And suddenly it becomes instinctive behavior. Because it's such a privilege to invite the goddess into our lives, into our being. We want to cultivate such habits. How to invite God inside. Not just to our temple, but to our temple. All the pictures of the mudras are in the Shiva Puja book. They're also somewhere in the back of the Kali Puja book. Many of them are here. And if you have other questions on our website, we put them as well. So you can get pictures of the mudras, and there's a little paragraph defining the attitude that they describe. But these mudras and these mantras are defining an attitude of the highest gratitude. The privilege of sitting in the presence of God, and that's what these pujas are designed to do as a guided meditation to take us step by step away from worldly concerns. Preparation, purification, invitation, union. Because you're not different from me. In fact, as a child of God, I have all the godly qualities within me. I establish you within. I put you in my fingers. I put the mantras, I put the letters of your mantras in my fingers. Called Nyasa. The establishment within. Karanyas, the establishment within the fingers. Anga Nyas, the establishment within your body. I put you in my heart. I put you in my head. I put you in the tip top of my head. Crossing my arms, I hold you tight to me. Put you between the three eyes. I see your bhava everywhere I look. It's all a manifestation of you. Nyas means to establish within, and there are several kinds of nyasas. The one you've heard so frequently is sannyas, who is established with truth. Who has established truth within is sannyas. Sannyas is not a vow. Sannyas is a way of life. And it's got nothing to do about living in an ashram and maintaining something, a certain discipline of life. It's not a vow of life, it's a fact of life. If you've established truth within, you're sannyasi. Regardless of what color cloth you wear. And that's our objective. Our objective is to become actual sannyasi, actual Hindus. And there's a beautiful definition for Hindu in the Tantra Sara. It says, Hingshayam duyateyascha, who abhors violence in every form. Sadacharana tatpara, who strives for harmony in every behavior. Vedgo pratima sevi, who loves wisdom, who respects all teachers of wisdom, who practices one-pointed meditation, sa Hindu mukashabdavak, such a one may be said to be Hindu. Oh, becoming a Hindu is a great attainment. And within the Hinduism, to become a sannyasi, to become established in truth, where truth is really the essence of your being. You love her so much. It's not an intellectual love affair. It's a real juicy one. A real romance. We were just talking on the way over to the temple just now. I could never be a Buddhist because Buddhism propounds the middle way. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to go all the way. All the way. We worship passion. And we worship passion passionately. Because it takes a certain degree of passion to love God so much that you can invite her into your life. It's not just an intellectual love affair. It's a total giving. Preparation, purification, invitation, union, and offering. I take you out of my heart and see, here you are. And I give that essence, that way of perceiving the universe, to everybody I meet. I take that energy, that mode of perception, and I establish it within every individual I see. And we can all see the reality, the tangibility of that mode of perception, because here it is, that special energy that just flows into every being that we have contact with. And now it's my privilege to offer to you whatever I want to share. How can I make my contribution to this world? The question isn't what will I do for a living? But what do I want to share? What is the greatest way that I can feel good about my contribution to life? Every one of us who took a body has three debts of karma. Devrin means a debt to the gods. We owe something to all the gods and goddesses because we have this body, and we discharge that debt by making this world a better place because we've been here. We can't just leave it the way we found it. We've got to do something for somebody else. Hitririn, a debt to the ancestors. The ancestors are our forefathers. Where I am today is in great part a consequence of what they set up for me through the years. Because I took birth in a certain environment which was most conducive to fulfilling my destiny in life. Each one of us owes a debt of gratitude because we're really in a good place. Look at, we're in the temple of the God, sitting at the feet of the Divine Mother with a beautiful satsang, listening to some Swami talk about a bunch of stuff, and talking about God. Thinking about God. We're not in a bad place. Everybody had a full breakfast, and then we got warm clothes, and thanks to our ancestors, because we got a really good start on life. What we chose to do with it was our choices. But we really had a good start because look where we ended up. And we repay that debt to our ancestors by showing respect to the elderly the way we will want to be respected when we're old, and by nurturing the youth the way we want this world to become. We owe a third debt of karma to the gurus, to the acharyas, to all the teachers who propounded wisdom, who taught us all this stuff from day one. The lineage, the succession of teachers who've propounded this wisdom and explained this wisdom and updated this wisdom into the vernacular of every culture. And we discharge our debt to the gurus by living in accordance with the wisdom that they taught. Now, so long as we have a debt outstanding, we're not free. Everybody knows. You have the choice of making the payments, and the late payment, and the interest, and the penalty. Or you get a discount for paying cash. Everybody knows we've got a choice. The karma bank is open. If we sow the seeds of good karma, we're going to free ourselves from those debts. And that's what puja does. It gives birth to the highest merit, the privilege of sitting in the presence of the Divine Mother. Let's begin with puja. Now, it's not about things. If you're missing any ingredient, just look inside your heart. It's right there. Every flower that you need. All the gold and the silk saris and the ornaments and the beautiful feast. Just reach into your heart and pull it out. Don't spend your time wandering around bazaars looking for things. That's not the puja. I want to share with you my own experience. I subscribed to this philosophy from an early day, and I used to do pujas with dried leaves or with rocks or with just pulling things out of my heart. And I was in the Shmoshan Ghat, in the cremation grounds outside of Bodh Gaya in Bihar. And I wanted to do the Chandi Yagya. And I was on the bank of the river, just by the cremation ground, and I took a stick and I drew a yantra in the sand. And there were a number of banyan trees along the bank of the river, and I went, and the leaves were up too high, so I took leaves from off the ground, I had a gamcha, an Indian towel, and I wrapped all the leaves that I picked up off the ground. I wrapped them up in my gamcha, I put it by my asan, and I read the chandi saying swaha, and put a leaf on the yantra drawn in the sand for every mantra of the chandi. And about 5 hours later, I came to the last mantra. And I put down my book. And two village men came from behind me carrying a big pot of khichdi. And they set it right next to the yantra. And I looked behind, and people had come from the nearby villages. There were hundreds of people out there. They had prepared a feast, and they brought all this food for everybody. He was a sadhu sitting with a yantra. I had no idea. They brought, they fed the whole village. I mean, there were hundreds of people, and then they started singing and dancing, and that party went on for 2 days. It was really a lot of fun. So if you spend the time looking for the ingredients, you'll never have time to do the puja. If you learn the mantra, I promise you, the things will come as you need them. The puja will come together. So reach into your heart, pull out all the flowers that you need, pull out your water, here's your spoon, there's your ghee, here's your candle, there's the incense. It's about a love affair. And you don't need things to cement a relationship. All you need is the feeling in our heart. And if it's true for a human relationship, then it must be true for God. Even more so. So we begin the puja by saying namaste. 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 And we start, Ganesh won the boon that he would be the first one to be worshipped. So we say, Sriman Mahaganadipataye Namaha. Page one of any of the books that you choose will start off the same way. There's a basic system of worship into which we're going to plug in the main deities that we want to worship, and then the lesser deities, the entourage. Just like you invite Sri Ma to dinner, better put a place for Swami. You know I'm going to drive her. In the same way, choose who's the main guest of honor. I want you to know every woman is so pleased if her husband is the guest of honor. And every man is so proud if his wife is the guest of honor. Choose Shiva, choose Durga, choose Kali. No one will feel offended. They will be the main deity. And then we'll invite the entourage. Sriman Mahaganadipataye Namaha. We bow to you, Ganesh. Ganapati, he's the pati of the Gana, the lord of the multitudes, the lord of wisdom. Lakshmi Narayanabhyam Namaha. Uma Maheshwarabhyam Namaha. Bani Hiranyagarbhabhyam Namaha. That's Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva and their wives. Sachi Purandarabhyam Namaha. Mata Pitribhyam Namaha. Ishta Devatabhyam Namaha. Kula Devatabhyo Namaha, Grama Devatabhyo Namaha, Vastu Devatabhyo Namaha, Stana Devatabhyo Namaha, Sarvevyo Devevyo Namaha, Sarvevyo Pramanevyo Namaha. Now, we've said namaste. We welcome them all. All the gods and goddesses. Now, one thing I want you to know about the puja padhoti, the system of worshiping, is not only is it eclectic, but it's an anthology that points to dozens of resources where we can find more information about the gods and goddesses that we want to discuss. So when you offer one flower to Ganesh, there's a whole body of literature that encompasses Ganesh. We read today, this morning, the Ganesh Atharvashirsham, the highest meaning of Ganesh. But when you offer a flower to any of these deities, the question rises, of course, why am I worshiping that deity? Why am I saying namaste to you? What fine qualities do you have? What experience did you go through in order to get to sit on my altar? And those are the questions that this is a compendium of resources which point you to the Padma Purana and to the Shiva Purana and to the Devi Bhagavatam, to the all the gods and goddesses. For example, we offer one flower to Shivadi Panchadevatabhyo Namah. Why am I giving this flower to Shiva and the five deities? Who are they? What are they? Why are they being worshipped? All this will be answered in more literature, which is outside the puja. So what the puja really does is list all the resources that we can consult to follow the thread, the sutra, of any deity that we choose. We can take any deity that we choose and follow their thread and follow and learn more about them and more about them. And that becomes our Ishta Deva, our chosen deity. So we're bowing down to all these deities. After we bow down to the deities, we will say Dhyanam. Let's use the Shiva Puja just for agreement, so we're all reading the same book. Sorry about that. And we'll go ahead. We start with the Gayatri. Every deity has their own Gayatri. Gayatri has a number of meanings. Vishwamitra, you know the story of Vishwamitra and Vashishta, I'm sure. And Vishwarat was a great king in India, and he went off to conquer all of India. And as he was coming back, he stopped by Vashishta Muni's ashram. Vashishta Muni said, "Oh my gosh, the great king has come to my ashram, and I must afford all the hospitality I possibly can." So Vashishta went to his cow, Nandi, the cow of bliss, the giver of, the fulfiller of all desires. And he said, "Nandi, we have guests. Vishwarath has come with his entire army, and we have to prepare dinner." And Nandi bellowed forth, Vashishta squeezed her milk, and most delicious food for an army came right out. He got the milk, and he made it into ghee, and he made it into cheese, and he made it paneer, and all the fulfillment, and all the greatest dishes of culinary excellence came out. And Vishwarath said, "Oh, Vashishta, how did you feed my entire army so sumptuously in such a short period of time?" And Vashishta said, "Well, that was the grace of Nandi, my cow." And Vishwarath said, "Wow, what a cow you have. Holy cow." Vishwarath took leave from Vashishta. He went back to his kingdom, and he was greeted by all sad faces. "What's the matter?" asked the king. "The people are starving. You took all of the men to be in the army, and there was no one here to plant the fields. Who could cultivate? Who could harvest? There was no one to work. So all the people are in dire straits. They're all suffering from hunger." Vishwarath said, "What should be done?" Then he thought of Vashishta. He said, "I've got an idea. I'll go to Vashishta's ashram. I'll take his cow." So he went back to Vashishta's ashram. He said, "Vashishta Muni, would you give me your cow, please?" Vashishta said, No, great king, that's Nandi, that's my cow. I make all my yajnas from the ghee produced from her milk." Vishwamitra said, "Vashishta, I'll give you 100 cows. Just give me that cow. I really need that cow. My people are hungry, I need to feed them." And Vashishta said, "Vishwarath, oh great king, I can't give you that cow. That's my cow. She's a sacred cow." And Vishwarath said, "I'll give you 1,000 cows. Give me that cow." Vashishta said, "I can't part with that cow for any price." Vishwarath said, "I am the emperor of all of India. And if you don't give me that cow by price, I will take that cow by force." Vashishta said, "Vishwarath, you're the king, and you have a great army with you. And I am a sadhu sitting alone in the forest. And if you want to take my cow by force, go ahead. There's nothing I can do to stop you. I'm unarmed, and I don't believe in violence. But I'm not giving you the cow." Vishwarath said, "Captain of the guard, tie a rope around that cow's neck and bring her to my kingdom." Captain of the guard called his soldiers and said, "Soldiers, bring me that cow." The soldiers went and put a rope around Nandi's neck and started to pull. And Nandi turned to Vashishtha and said, Vashishtha, did you give me to that king? Vashishtha said, no, Nandi, I didn't give you to the king. Well, then why are they pulling on my neck with a rope? Vashishtha said, that king thinks he can steal you by force. Well, Nandi bellowed, and out from her mouth came a force of soldiers that defeated Vishwaroth's entire army. Vishwaroth took off running, and he ran all the way around the earth with the soldiers of Nandi chasing behind. And no one would give him refuge anywhere. Finally, he came to Vashishtha. He bowed down. Vashishtha, please save me. I'm sorry for trying to take your cow by force. Please forgive me. Now I've recognized that the power of a Brahmin is so much greater than the power of a Kshatriya king. Now, if you permit me, I'm going to the forest to perform tapasya. Vashishtha said, go, king, perform your tapasya. So Vishwaroth, the king, went into the forest and began to meditate. And he meditated on Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati, on the three goddesses. And all three goddesses said to one another, I don't want to go down there. That Muni is meditating with such a force, he's calling us. Somebody's got to go. And Kali said, Lakshmi, you go. And Lakshmi said, okay, let Saraswati go. Well, all three of the goddesses got together and they decided they would each send one part. Gaya. Three. The wisdom of the three is Gayatri. The wisdom of the three. And Gayatri went down and she said, Vishwaroth king, you have brought Gayatri for the benefit of humanity. You are no longer Vishwaroth, the conveyance of the universe. You are Vishwamitra, the friend of the universe. She gave him a new name to go with the new mantra. Now the mantra says, Om, the infinite beyond conception. Bhur, Bhuva Swa. Bhur, the gross body. Bhuva, the subtle body. Swa, the causal body. Tat, Savitur. Now Savitur is the name of the sun. The light of wisdom. The warmth of devotion. Tat means that. Savitur, light of wisdom. Varenyam, highest. Bhargo, devashya, wealth of the gods. Dhimahi, we meditate upon that light of wisdom, which is the highest wealth of the gods. Diho, yoma, give to us. Prachodaya, prach means continuous. Udaya, rising. Make it rise, get it brighter. Make it continuously better and brighter and lighter. And that's why he became Vishwamitra. So Gayatri is a goddess. Gayatri is a mantra. Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tasa Bitur Barenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yoga Prachodayat. Try it again. Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tatsa Vitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yoga Prachodayat. Very good. So she's a goddess and she's a mantra and she's a chanda. There are 24 syllables in every Gayatri mantra. And every deity has a Gayatri mantra. Om Sadashivaya Vidmahe Sahasrakshaya Dhimahe Tanno Shambhu Prachodayat. Om Katyaya Daya Vidmake Kanyakumari Vimaki Tanno Durgi Prachodayatom Om Mahakaliya Gija Vidmake Shmoshan Vasinya Yita Vimaki Tanno Kali Prachodayatom. Well, Those are the three that we're going to talk about tonight. There are books of Gayatri mantras. And every deity has several versions of the Gayatri mantra because they were all written down many years later. So as the collectors of the mantras went from country to country, they found that there were many interpolations and many different ways in which the mantras were being recited, and then they collected them into several compendiums of mantras. That's why you'll find different versions of the different texts. So Gayatri, we will say the Gayatri mantra. Here we're going to use Shiva's Gayatri mantra. Oh, Sada Sivaya Bhimake, Sahasrakshaya Bhimake, Tano Shambhu Prachodayat. And now they have, each deity has its own dhyanam, a meditation, a description of their form and their valor, their prowess, their specific qualities which distinguish them from other gods. Aristotle said the genus and the difference is the best way to define. Give what is similar and then give the basic distinctions. Well, the dhyanam is the basic distinction. The distinguished personality, the distinguished appearance, and the distinguished actions. Now, this dhyanam happens to be from Yajurveda. There are four different types of pronunciation, basically. It's written in Uti. Om sajojatam prapadyami sajojataya ve namo namaha bhave bhave nati bhave babasvamom bhavo bhavai ramah Baba Devaya Namo Krishtaya Namo Shrestaya Namo Rudraya Namaha Kalaya Namaha Kala Vikaradaya Namo Bala Vikaradaya Namo Balaya Namo Bala Pramatanaya Namaha Sarvabhuta Dhammanaya Namo Manomanaya Namaha Aguri Vyota Guri Vyota Guri Kiratri Vyaha Sarve Vyaha Sarva Sarve Vyo Namaste Stu Rudrupe Vyaha Tapurushaya Vidmahe Mahadevaya Dimahe Tanno Rudra Prachudaya Isanaha Sarvidyanam Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Brahmadipatir, Brahmanodipatir, Brahma Shivo Mehastu Sadasivom Om Namah Shivaya. Now take your light and offer it to your goddess. Om Agni Jyoti Jyoti Ragni Swaha Surya Jyoti Jyoti Surya Swaha Agni Vacha Jyoti Vacha Swaha Surya Vacha Jyoti Vacha Swaha Jyoti Surya Jyoti Surya Jyoti Swaha Om Agni Jyoti Ravi Jyoti Chandra Jyotistateva cha Jyotisamuttamo deva Deepavayam pratigriyatam Esha deepa Om Namah Shivaya Om Rim Srim Dum Durgai Namah Om Rim Srim Prim Parameshwari Kalike Swaha Deepam Samarpayami. Take a stick of incense. Om Panaspatir Asodpanam Gandhyate Agandhaputama Agriyaha Sarvadevanam Dupavayam Pratigrihatam Esha Dupa Om Namah Shivaya Om Rim Shrim Dum Durgaye Namaha Om Rim Shrim Krim Parameshwari Kalike Swaha Dupam Samarpayami. And we can go on and on and on, offer her everything. Then we give her flowers. Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Adityadi Navagrehe Bhyo Namaha Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Shivadi Pancha Devata Bhyo Namaha Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Indradi Dasadikpale Bhyo Namaha Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Atsyadi Dasavatare Bhyo Namaha Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Prajapataye Namaha Eti Ganda Pushpe Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha And pretty soon we've got the makings of a work of art. We're worshiping you with our loving attention and our artistic ability. We're painting this picture which describes all of our love and all of our joy and all of our sense of privilege. We're painting that picture in flowers. Malikabdi Sugandini, Malityabdini Be Prabho, Maharitani Pujartam Pushpani Pratigriyatam, Hetekanda Pushpe, Om Rim Srim Dum Dirgai Namaha, Om Aim Rim Klaim Chamundai Deche. And that's what the puja is. I'm so pleased that you came into my house. Look at, I'm going to draw you a picture in flowers. I'm going to sit you down. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to give you a bath and new clothes and ornaments and delicious food. And I just want to look in your eyes and sing to you, tell you how much I love you, how privileged I am that you came into my life. And we'll invite her in and treat her just like the highest guest that we could possibly imagine. Now, there are the books on pujas range from this thin to this thick, and you can put two or three of them together and make a day's worship. You can put a bunch of them. While we're here, we're going to be doing, or today we're going to do the 1,000 names of Shiva from this book. We'll light the fire. This book tells us how to worship the yantra. And the yantra is the geometrical design, the roadmap, describing the path to the foot of the goddess. It just calls up every line, every angle. I put the numbers where the flowers go on the yantra. So the numbers on the yantras correspond to the name of the mantra, and that's where the flowers will go, and that's what deity is sitting on which place in the yantra. And I've done this on a couple of different yantras because we do it a couple of different times. First of all, you invite Mitra and Parvati and Swami for lunch. And then you invite all the other devotees for lunch. And so some people get to sit closer to the kitchen and some people farther away. So we have this yantra. It's the same yantra and this yantra. And you can make your puja as simple or as complex as you like. But the most important thing is to make it internal. It's got to be your love affair. It can't be just words you're reading out of a book that say, I love you. It's got to be something that is yours, that you feel. You can do it in English. It doesn't matter. The Sanskrit is great because Sanskrit mantras have two sets of shaktis, vachak and vaikarik. Vachak shakti means it has a literal definition. It means something. Read the meanings. They're really neat. I mean, the meanings describe the attitudes. In the offering section, the mantras define the recipes. How do you make charanamrit? How do you make the madhuparka? What is she like for dinner? It tells you how to cook her food. The mantra defines. It says that you put a little peas in the pot. They describe the entire system of worship. As simple as you want to make it. Mama brought you flower.
Yes.
To as complex as you want to make it. But you got to make it your own. It's not just somebody else's word that they wrote down 5,000 years ago. It's something that I'm feeling today, and that's why I feel the privilege of getting to sit here and share her love. It's that feeling of privilege, the attitude of gratitude. And once we cultivate it, we can take that attitude into everything we do. That attitude, that bhava, the system of puja becomes a paradigm for establishing any activity in life. Go to your office, preparation, purification, invitation, union, and offering. You clear your workspace. You segregate the tasks. You purify, go to your kitchen, preparation, purification. I invite all these ingredients to cohabit in my pot. And now I stir you together and mix you together until you mingle into one homogeneous offering, which I give with the greatest of joy. System of puja is training our minds to perceive life as worship. That's what puja does. It's not about the practice. It's about the life. So as we go through, we offer the flowers, we organize our puja, we put all the necessary ingredients that are readily available. We make it beautiful, satyam shivam sundaram. The sundara is the beauty part. The satyam is true existence, and shivam is pure consciousness. It's beautiful. It's our expression of our love for God. Now we go through and we draw the yantras to purify the water. This is called the samanya arga, or saman arga. That on page 90 you'll see, oh, it's a little baby one, but it's a yantra nonetheless, and it's the root of all of our yantras. And you could put a little drop of water on your finger or some sandal paste and put a point, that's bindu. One point, one with God. And outside that point, putting the point in the center, draw a perfect triangle. And that triangle are the three gunas in perfect balance. What we call in Sanskrit kamakala. Kamakala stands for the balance, the unity, the harmony of all the threes. There are lots of them. Ah, oo, ma, om, and ring, ping. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasarasvati, Srishti, Sthiti. Kamakala, it's a great term. We use it a lot. All the threes. The threes, outside of which is a circle, which is Srishti, all the creation. All the creation is the expression of the threes. And outside the circle is a square, and that stands for Chaturbharga. Chaturbharga, the four objectives of manifested existence: Dharma, Art, Kam, Moksha. Dharma means the ideal of perfection. Every atom of existence is striving to manifest an ideal of perfection. We want to become the perfect sadhus, the perfect devotees, the perfect mother, the perfect worker, the perfect friend. Each one of us is striving to manifest an ideal of perfection. Art means we need some amount of material resources in order to manifest that ideal. How much do we need? The perfect amount, the optimum amount. If we have too much, we can't sit still. If we have too little, we can't sit still. What is the optimum amount of art, of things of the world, material resources, in order to manifest that ideal? Come. Can we organize all of our desires so that only one desire remains? That one. And the exclusion of all the others through the processes of discrimination or fulfillment. So that nothing is pulling us back. Nothing remains left to be done. Dharma, art, kam. And when these three have been perfected, That's moksha, self-realization, otherwise known as realization. Now we draw that yantra with sandal paste or water, and then we take a few grains of rice and we say, Om Adara Shakta Gain Namaha, and we put the rice on the yantra. Om Kurmaya Namaha. Om Anantaya Namaha. Om Pithibyay Namaha. And we take our water vessel, here it is, and we put it on top of the rice, which is sitting on top of the yantra. Stam, sting, stiro, baba, pat. Now fill that pot with water from all the sacred pilgrimage places of the world. In fact, let's take all the sacred waters from all the holy rivers of India and pour that water into that pot. Om Gangicha Jamunacheva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Chalismin Sanidinguru. And here we've given the waters of all the sacred rivers, the five senses, the Ira and the Pinava. Because the seven rivers of India are inside. Actually, the land of India in Sanskrit is called Bharat. Bharat is the name of Surya, the sun. The light of wisdom. And the land where the light of wisdom always shines is Bharatvarsha, the land of India, what we call it. So here, the seven rivers of the land where the light of wisdom always shines. Are the five senses, the rivers, the avenues of ingress and egress, and the ira and the pinkala. Now, we offer tulsi leaves into that water. I want to tell you a story very, very briefly about tulsi, because tulsi did a tremendous tapasya. And she said, I want to marry Vishnu. Brahma came to her and said, you can marry Vishnu, but I have one other work for you to perform first. She said, what is that? Brahma said, you are destined to become the wife of Shankar, Shankachura. He was the king of the Asuras. Tulsi went to Pushkar and began to perform tapasya. Tulsi was there performing her meditation and reciting the Gayatri Mantra. The king of the Asuras rode up in front of a great army and saw this beautiful, radiant woman, and she recognized him immediately. He didn't recognize her, but he fell head over heels in love. He said, hey, beautiful lady, what are you doing here by yourself reciting Gayatri Mantra? And she said, I'm waiting for a very special man to come into my life. And Shankar said, I think I'm the man. And they were married. And they fell very deeply in love. Well, Shankachura was the king of the Asuras, and one time it happened that the Asuras had to do battle with the Devas, as Shuras and Asuras usually do. But none of the gods could defeat Shankar because of the purity of his wife. Tulsi was so pure and so true. She cleansed everything and everyone who came near her. And she purified her husband, and her purity was his kavach. This morning we chanted the Devi kavach, the armor of the goddess. Her purity was his armor. And all of the gods were beset with woe. How are we going to destroy this Asura? So long as his wife remains so chaste and pure, there's no way we can defeat him. None of the gods has the strength to permeate the armor of purity of his wife. Vishnu, this sounds like you need your help. Vishnu, always willing to aid the gods, took on the form of Shankar. And one night, he came home and said, hi, honey, I'm home from the war. Come make love to me immediately. Tulsi thought to herself, this doesn't seem like my husband. But how can I deny my husband who's been away from me for so long? And they made love. And in the process, she said, you're not my husband. I can tell your soul is someone different. Who are you? And Vishnu took on his four arms, holding the conch, shankha, chakra, gada, and his dhanush, and he was holding the shankha, the kancha, and chakra, and his discus, and his gada, his club, and his dhanush, and padma. He had a lotus in his hand, his four hands, and he said, I'm the god that you had prayed to marry.